Zero to One. Notes on Startups or How to Build the Future. Authors: Peter Thiel and Blake Masters. Every moment in business happens only once. The next Bill Gates will not build an operating system. The next Larry Page or Sergey Brin won't build a search engine. And the next Mark Zuckerberg won't create a social network. If you are copying these guys, you aren't learning from them. Of course, it's easier to copy a model than to make something new. Doing what we already know how to do adds more of something familiar, but every time we create something new, we go from zero to one. The act of creation is singular, as is the moment of creation, and the result is something fresh and strange. Today's best practices lead to dead ends. The best paths are new and untried. Perfect competition or monopoly? Perfect competition is considered both the ideal and default state in economics, 101. So-called perfectly competitive markets achieve equilibrium when producer supply meets consumer demand. Every firm in a competitive market is undifferentiated and sells the same homogeneous products. The opposite of perfect competition is monopoly. Whereas a competitive firm must sell at the market price, a monopoly owns its market so it can sell at its own prices. Since it has no competition, it produces at the quantity and price combination that maximizes its profits. By monopoly, we mean the kind of company that's so good at what it does, no other firm can offer a close substitute. Google is a good example of a company that went from zero to one. It hasn't competed in search since the early 2000s, when it definitively distanced itself from Microsoft and Yahoo. The value of business. The value of the business today is the sum of all the money you will make in the future. To properly value a business, you also have to discount the future cash flows to their present worth, since a given amount of money today is worth more than the same amount in the future. Characteristics of monopoly. 1. Proprietary technology. Proprietary technology is the most substantive advantage a company can have, because it makes your product difficult or impossible to replicate. As a good rule of thumb, proprietary technology must be at least 10 times better than its closest substitute in some important dimension to lead into a real monopolistic advantage. 2. Network effects. Network effects make a product more useful as more people use it. For example, if all your friends are on Facebook, it makes sense for you to join Facebook too. Unilaterally choosing a different social network would only make you an eccentric. 3. Economies of scale. A monopoly business gets stronger as it gets bigger. The fixed costs of creating a product, engineering, management, office space, can be spread out over greater quantities of sales. Software startups can enjoy especially dramatic economies of scale because the marginal cost of producing another copy of the product is close to zero. 4. Branding. Creating a strong brand is a powerful way to claim a monopoly. Today's strongest tech brand is Apple. Many have tried to learn from Apple's success: paid advertising, branded stores, luxurious materials, playful keynote speeches, high prices, and even minimalist designs are all susceptible to imitation. But these techniques for polishing the surface don't work without a strong underlying substance. Building a monopoly. Start small and monopolize. Every startup is small at the start. Every monopoly dominates a large share of its market. Therefore, every startup should start with a very small market. Always err on the side of starting too small. The reason is simple. It's easier to dominate a small market than a large one. If you think your initial market might be too big, it almost certainly is. Scale up. Once you create and dominate a niche market, then you should gradually expand into related and slightly broader markets. The most successful companies made the core progression: to first dominate a specific niche and then scale to adjacent markets, a part of their founding narrative. Don't disrupt. Originally, disruption was a term of art to describe how a firm can use new technologies to introduce a low-end product at low prices, improve the products over time, and eventually overtake even the premium products offered by incumbent companies using older technology. The power law. This extraordinarily stark pattern, in which a small few radically outstrip all rivals, surrounds us everywhere in natural and social world. Monopoly businesses capture more value than millions of undifferentiated competitors. The power law, so named because its exponential equations describe severely unequal distributions, is the law of the universe. It defines our surroundings so completely that we usually don't even see it. The power law becomes visible when you follow the money. In venture capital, where investors try to profit from exponential growth in early-stage companies. A few companies attain exponentially greater value than all others. Most businesses never need to deal with venture capital. But everyone needs to know exactly one thing that even venture capitalists struggle to understand. We don't live in a normal world. We live under a power law. What to do with the power law? If you do start up your own company, you must remember the power law to operate it well. The most important things are singular. One market will probably be better than all others. One distribution strategy usually dominates all others. Time and decision-making themselves follow a power law, and some moments matter far more than others. However, you can't trust the world that denies the power law to accurately frame your decisions for you. So what's most important is rarely obvious. It might even be secret. But in a power law world, you can't afford not to think hard about where your actions will fall on the curve. Foundation. Every great company is unique, but there are a few things that every business must get right at the beginning. Beginnings are special. They are qualitatively different from all that comes afterwards. Bad decisions made early are very hard to correct after they are made. It may take a crisis on the order of bankruptcy before anybody will even try to correct them. As a founder, your first job is to get to the first things right, because you cannot build a great company on a flawed foundation. Establish alignment. Everyone in your company needs to work well together. As much as you need good people who get along, you need a structure to help keep everyone aligned for the long term. To anticipate likely sources of misalignment in any company, it is useful to distinguish between three concepts. Ownership, who legally owns a company's equity. Possession, who actually runs the company on a day-to-day basis. Control, who formally governs the company's affairs. The founding moment of birth. The founding moment of a company really does just happen once. Only at the very start do you have the opportunity to set the rules that will align people towards creation of value in the future. Recruiting. Recruiting is a core competency for any company. It should never be outsourced. You need people who are not just skilled on paper, but who will work together cohesively after they're hired. The first four or five might be abstracted by large equity stakes or high-profile responsibilities. More important than those obvious offerings is your answer to the question, why should the 20th employee join your company? Involve them full-time. As a general rule, everyone you involve with your company should be involved full-time. Sometimes you'll have to break this rule. It usually makes sense to hire outside lawyers and accountants, for example. However, anyone who doesn't own stock options or draw regular salary from your company is fundamentally misaligned. Allocate equity carefully. Startups don't need to pay high salaries because they can offer something better, part ownership of the company itself. Equity is the one form of compensation that can effectively orient people towards creating value in the future. Selling a product. Superior sales and distribution by itself can create a monopoly, even with no product differentiation. The converse is not true. No matter how strong your product, even if it easily fits into already established habits, and anyone who tries it will like it immediately, you must still support it with a strong distribution plan. The first step. In the most minimal sense, the future is simply the set of all moments yet to come. But what makes future distinctive and important isn't that it hasn't happened yet, but rather that it will be a time when the world looks different from today. Our task today is to find singular ways to create new things that will make the future not just different, but better, to go from zero to one. The essential first step is to think for yourself. Only by seeing our world anew, as fresh and strange as it was to the ancients who saw it first, can we both recreate it and preserve it for the future.